But I love a good sandwich. Possibly the best. The goat of foods.
The sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love food.
I love food. That's the best
age. We were early on the food thing. We were early on that.
Early, like episode maybe session 10, we were hardcore on food. Listen,
food? Fucking great.
Fucking slaps. Old
school loving food.
Mm-hmm. We've been loving food since 2018 on the Brose podcast.
That's true. Welcome to Brose. My name is Matt Casnell, and joining me as they always do are my bros from Belmar, New Jersey. It's Mr. Rich Sweeten.
Hi.
From Haddon Heights, New Jersey, it's Mr. Sean O'Brien.
Hey, everybody.
And from King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, it's the indomitable home man, Globetrot International Postman, it's Mr. Tim Hansen.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah, so it was Ludacris. So it was the Ludacris songs that I did this time. Everybody got Ludacris.
So every time Ludacris comes up, I remember so vividly. So the summer before we went to college, Matt, at Duquesne, they had this kind of, I think it was one of those things like that you go, like you got in either conditionally or whatever, like you had to go to a summer enrichment program. And in one of those classes, they had a lawyer come in, and the lawyer like introduced himself and was like, "You may have heard of my cousin, Chris Bridges, or should I say, Luda Chris Bridges?"
Luda.
Every time I hear Ludacris, I think Luda Chris Bridges.
Chris Bridges. Wow. I mean, I'm impressed that you continue to enjoy Ludacris's music in spite of the fact that that would have ruined it for me. Luda Chris Bridges.
Luda Chris Bridges.
My cousin Luda. So this is like a business law guy? Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is trying to write. Like, see, law's cool.
Yeah. See?
I'm cousins with Ludacris. Lordy, lordy. Anyway,
I will say with these raps that you're doing, Matt, I'm just going to admit, I'm going to probably almost never know any of them that you're sharing. Today I was doing a trivia quiz, and it mentioned Genuine, who I genuinely thought he was a fake rapper only on Parks and Rec and nothing else.
In those jeans, looking good, plenty tight.
I didn't know he was a real rapper.
More room for me. Honestly, if it's not in those jeans, I don't know.
I didn't know it either. Genuine.
Genuine.
Genuinely didn't know.
That's what I tried to get there, but I didn't stretch it enough, but I wanted to get there.
Mm-hmm. And what's it? Not the Semros were on that show, too. They had a lot of musicians on that show.
Or was it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wilco was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
and I mean,
the Decembrists were too.
Were they?
Yeah, at the
they're like really concert, like really rocking out for Decembrists.
Yeah,
Colin Malloy. This is the age that I'm at now. I'm just like Colin Malloy. What happened to that guy? that substitutes for a topic where I'm just like, oh, what happened to that?
I remember that guy.
Yeah, Colin Malloy. He's like,
the Decembrists are like, if Death Cab for Cutie were Ernest Hemingway.
Jesus.
Or alternately, if Ernest Hemingway was R.E.M. if instead of Michael Stipe, they had Ernest Hemingway writing songs for R.E.M., it's like, oh, what do you know?
No.
Now we're just doing different shades of indie gray at that point. Welcome to the award-winning Brose podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms. The premise of our show remains the same. We are four bros. In each episode, we bring a question to the table. It could be about anything. It could be about current events, pop culture. It could be about would you rather. It could be about life, the universe, or anything. But whatever question we ask and answer, we do so with a glass of wine and a touch of mirth. But we want your questions as well. You out there in listener land, if you have a question you want us to answer on the air, email it to brosequestions@gmail.com. That's brosequestions@gmail.com. But of course, before we get into the questions, we've got to discuss what we're drinking. And of course, we're going to start with the birthday boy, Mr.
Birthday. Sorry, that was the dumbest laugh I could think of.
That was kind of scary, right there, actually.
Mission accomplished. I am drinking Copper Dog, which is a delicious Bayside Scotch whiskey. It's from the Craigellachie. I'm never going to say that right. It's Copper Dog. It's got a Basset Hound on the label. It's real tiny, but it's fucking adorable. It's 40% alcohol per volume, and it's fucking delicious.
Okay.
I really enjoy Speysides as far as scotches go. And a lot of people have been like, oh, hey, try this bourbon lately. So I feel like I've been having a lot of bourbon burn. Switching to this has been a very welcome and pleasant transition. And it's delicious. Go get you some Copper Dog.
Copper Dog.
Oh, that's from Bleed American. They mentioned Speyside.
They do, and yeah, it was Speyside. Like years later. I never know
what that was.
Years later, after Matt introduced me to that song, and I already enjoyed Scotch, years later is when I finally made that connection. I was like, oh, I'm such a fucking idiot.
Oh, okay, it all comes together, baby.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. On that note, Sean, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking Effingham Manors Rosé. It is a Virginia vineyard that my aunt and uncle work at for funsies. And it is B+, nice, sweet rosé. I prefer more dry rosé. This is very sweet, but it's good. So that's that.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, you rich,
sweet. Brevity is the soul of wit.
Indeed.
Sorry. I drank a Select Squeeze THC Nano Drops, which is basically like Mio with THC in my water. I finished it off already. It was good. It tastes like peach.
Mm-mm-mm. How high are you flying right now?
I don't think I really am.
I'm lame.
Just chill.
I'm drinking Chateau de Neige Heritage red wine. It's a good wine. I'm not drinking any more of it because I had about 2/3 of the bottle really snuck up on me as far as the volume goes. And this is a 14.5% alcohol bro volume. This has a bit of a punch to it. And I have stuff to do tomorrow. So I'm gonna call it a night on that right now. But it was quite good. I think part of the reason why it went down so easy is because it's a very good red wine. If you're a red drinker, this is not, it is a bit of a red blend. I suppose you could say it's not explicitly, a Pinot Noir or a Malbec or whatever, but it's pretty damn good. It's nice and heavy and thick. That's heavy and thick. Just Tesco, you clip off me saying heavy and thick a few more times just to implicate mm-hmm. myself a little bit more. Heavy and thick.
Heavy and thick.
All right, rosequestions@gmail.com. Fiddick, if you want your question answered on the air, but who wants to go first?
I have another listener question.
Okay.
Let's go!
So I just sent to the group chat a bunch of pictures, and the question is from Halen, and she would us to rate this dog.
rate the dog.
Rate this dog.
All right, so we've been provided a picture of a dog. So we're not rating it against, this is not like a hot or not for dogs.
0 to 10, rate this dog.
All right.
Is it full bred Akita or is it a mix?
It's a mix. It's a rescue.
Okay. Right, explain, describe this dog for us, Sean, for the listener.
The dog looks like a softer German Shepherd.
it looks like it's husky because of the eyes, Akita... Oh, yeah. and because of the tail and the physical attributes of the coat, and German Shepherd from the coloration.
Yeah.
And ears, I guess.
And this dog, from my perspective, maybe not Akita. Absolute cutie, 10 out of 10.
Absolute fucking adorable snuggle, whatever. I want to hug it, and I'm sad now.
It's just a baby.
Is 100% 10 out of 10. If you ever give a dog not a 10 out of 10, you're a monster, because every dog is a 10 out of 10, and it's, he's like a perfect dog.
I don't know. I would give some dog less than a 10 out of 10.
Yo, Chihuahuas fucking suck.
I was going to say that too. Chihuahuas, yeah. Probably not 10 out of 10 Chihuahuas. And sorry, pugs, Piper.
Pugs, those absolute abominations.
I will fight you.
They should not. How cute they are, I'm sorry, not but a they 10 shouldn't out of, exist. They're very
eight,
cute.
8 out of 10 I will take, but like, fuck you.
Pugs 10 out of 10, but I get it, but fuck you. My parents had two of them, and they slept in their bed. Next to my mom's ears.
It's a wonder she got any sleep.
Pugs have been cursed to exist by humans. Absolute, a life of agony, I assume. Terrible.
It's like, listen, we've already fucked over the English bulldog enough. How can we make it worse? Let's make a pug!
Yeah. Pugs, honestly, 10 out of 10, I love them. They're so cute to hold, and they're all... I have never met a mean pug.
Fact.
So, but they are unfortunate.
That's not their fault, so they're still a 10 out of 10.
They are what happens when humans play God.
Because we're bad at it.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking through these pictures of the dog. Dog is extremely adorable. We got a picture of dog sitting on a couch. We got another picture of dog sitting on a couch getting nice rubs. A third picture of the dog on the couch getting nice rubs. So far, that's the problem. I'm trying to evaluate the personality of the dog through these pictures. And so far, I'm like, all right, so 3 out of 5 of these pictures, the dog's really good at getting rubs. Now we get to the good stuff. Picture 4, dog getting rubbed on the floor. Now I can see, all right, not only is this dog capable of getting good rubs on a couch, floor rubbing dog. That's versatility through the roof at this point. Suddenly we're dealing with like a triathlete here as a dog. And so similarly, I'm gleaning a playfulness from this dog in addition to the cute face. Cuts the ideal figure for a dog. Dog's got a little bit of everything for me. Because I'm a harsh grader, I would normally give this a 9 out of 10 for the dog, but because it's a cute dog, I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 dog. Mm-hmm. Strong dog.
Perfect.
Strong.
Have I sent either of you guys, Tim and Sean,
either of us,
The videos from Growler Seattle, where it's the person talking about the different dogs that they have at the daycare, and it gives it silly names like Golden Retrievers is Goldarden Den Retriever Das.
Oh, the Commander Man.
Yeah,
the Commander Man Shepherd Dog.
Yeah, and he gives a silly voice. I love
as well as Mister Animal, really.
Yeah. I love that channel. I love it. I'll share it to the group chat, Matt. But since you don't have TikTok, I don't know if you're really
Gramangadang Shepepper Dog.
I can still view TikToks if without a TikTok account.
It's the pug video is like, look at my fancy butthole. Blah blah blah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's so great. I love that channel.
Very entertaining.
Any other ratings for the dog?
The fuck you mean this dog's not for sale, Sean? I want it.
Present me with this dog.
Sorry, for those listening at home, in this thread where Sean has sent dogs, I keep sending memes where it's like, can I have one? So can I have it or what, brah? And then it's, can I have it from the that Mad TV skit? Like, can I have your number? Type it, and then Sean just sends an IT crowd meme of, I'm afraid they're not for sale. The fuck you mean? I want it!
Dog,
I'll put my phone down now.
All right. Who's next? I got one. Is an Uncrustable a dumpling?
Yes.
This is a good question. I have to consider what makes a dumpling. I think
a dumpling is also just a pierogi.
The Uncrustable is the thing the Smucker's drawn. You get in the freezer section, and it's basically, you know, bread products sealed on the edges with peanut butter and jelly on the inside.
I love that you're gonna
gigantic ravioli.
I love that you're gonna define an Uncrustable, but not define John.
Look, man, you listen to this show enough, you don't know what the word John means. I don't know what to tell you.
You listen to this show enough, and you don't know what an Uncrustable is.
What are we talking about, Uncrustables every other week?
This is, like, oh my this God, is at least Baldur's the third or fourth time.
Again, it's a fucking Brosé podcast. All they talk about.
If it's the third or fourth time, we're averaging once every 30 episodes. 30 yeah. sessions, which is 90 episodes.
Yeah, it's not a lot. I feel like I'm obligated to mention the Uncrustable.
It's a statistic. It exists.
I haven't held an Uncrustable in my hands in like 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a long time.
I don't know. I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the other day, and that's like it's almost the same thing.
It's not. Because an Uncrustable, potentially, is a dumpling.
Correct.
I don't think so. Because I think you need to be able to boil a dumpling. And I don't think...
But you can fry dumplings.
Yeah, but you can also boil them. All of them.
Correct.
You so can I'm saying also... you can get 50%. Like...
You can fry a dumpling as a pierogi. Like, those are arguably the same
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm saying
you don't,
an Uncrustable
you
is neither.
You can boil
things.
Them. You can fry them. You can fry an Uncrustable. You could boil it. I just wouldn't recommend it. But a fried Uncrustable sounds great.
I agree with you on that. A fried Uncrustable sounds delicious. But do you think you could boil it? I don't think it would hold up. I think it would just disintegrate.
But which of the two things is the deciding factor? Because
I think it's both. Yeah, it's you have to have two.
So you're
things.
Saying have to be able to do your argument is you have to be able to boil it and fry it
and steam it. Boil, fry, steam. And I don't think you can do those to an Uncrustable. I think an Uncrustable is more like an empanada. Or like a calzone.
Which I would argue are all in the same family of food. You're just being too...
I might be being a very particular. Very focused, very kind of tunnel vision on what a dumpling is.
That's true.
Is.
I did not ask if a Uncrustable was a calzone. I asked if it was a dumpling.
I don't think so, personally. All right. But I'm not going to fight with you if you think it is, because I'm willing to be swayed. Yeah.
So... According to Britannica, a dumpling is a small mass of leavened dough.
I'm done listening to Rich.
that is
wearing a Webster's dictionary. This shit, come on, man.
No, because I was wondering. I was wondering, and I wanted to know. The only reason I bring this up is because small mass of leavened dough that is either boiled or steamed and served in soup. So, based on Sean's definition, where he's right. They are not dumplings. That's the only reason I bring it up is because it proves Sean's point. If it didn't prove Sean's point, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Can you repeat it? I was too busy laughing at the fact that you looked up a definition or encyclopedia reference.
I literally Googled how do you define a dumpling.
All right, Mr. Sweet, please come up to the front of the class. Hello, this is my presentation on Uncrustables. Okay. Webster's Dictionary defines... Uncrustable as the sealed product of.
Look, hey, I'm just reporting the facts here, man.
Please repeat it because I wasn't listening. I was laughing too hard.
I know. According to Britannica, a dumpling is a small mass of leavened dough that is either boiled or steamed and served in soups or stews, or with fruit.
I can tell you.
Based on that fact.
How many of these episodes before? I can tell you this has to be the first time we've looked up the Encyclopedia Britannica for support on an argument.
But
this is codswallop.
But we can also argue already that that definition is flawed because we know for a fact in our own physical consumption that dumplings can be fried and are not always served with fruit mm-hmm. or whatever the fucking thing is. So that is already saying that there are additional properties of this product that are not aligned in that definition. So there's a loophole. And Rich, no. You're the king of loopholes.
No, I understand
so
that.
Technically.
But, no, I understand that. But part of the actual listed definition is boiled. Which yeah. was Sean's point. You can't boil a... I mean, you can, but you're not
that
going
the whole
to.
Argument like is invalid and we should just throw it out. Ergo, never listen to the Britannica website.
Fuck it, British. Always fuck shit up.
Congratulations, Tim. You've invalidated Britannica. You've done it.
Get wrecked. Fuck it, Brits.
I don't think it's a dumpling for the sole reason that it's usually served cold. Primarily, you eat dumplings warm. It's very simple. It's just more
they
of
can
an aesthetic
be both.
Choice by me. I mean, they can be, but like when you say I'm going to serve typically you a dumpling, warm. You're not going to be like, like when you say I'm going to give you some soup, your first thought is not gazpacho, right? It is
correct. This is it's the last thought because gazpacho is a sin against soup.
Or correct. Cereal. And I would argue that in that same sense, if you're going to go with the Uncrustable definition being a dumpling, that Uncrustables are actually a sin against dumplings because when you imagine dumpling, it's warm. It's satisfying. It's homely. It's comfort food in a way, and warm Uncrustable does not. It might be comfort food in the sense that it tastes like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but I don't know about you. Don't normally eat an Uncrustable warm.
I only ever ate my Uncrustables toasted.
How do you toast an Uncrustable? Can you just put it in the toast?
You just bring it
to
toaster.
School with you like that?
Ah.
I never brought it. We never had it at school.
I'm pretty sure Uncrustables didn't exist while we were in school.
Oh, that's not true.
No,
you didn't go to VJ's Wholesale Club. I did a gigantic metric ton of those things.
My back in at elementary school, my best friend at the time, his mom worked at a school, and she came home with like 5 sheet trays full of Uncrustables at the end of the school year and just sent them home with us at one point. So we had a couple
holy
of
holy
like,
shit 1995
yeah
I remember my mom had this like appliance in her kitchen that you would make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then you just push down on it and it would create Uncrustables before I think Uncrustables were like as ubiquitous as they are.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like the old McDonald's toy where you made apple pie by just putting apple into a chunk of bread.
Pretty
and
much,
just
yeah.
like close it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and my dad took it away because he didn't want me to have fun. And because I wasted so much apples and so much bread.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on
the So the answer is no, it's not. But like, it's just... I enjoy having the argument for argument's sake.
I'm going to do this every couple of weeks. Just be like, I don't know. Is Noki actually a club sandwich?
Listen, how many layers are in the inside of that Noki, bro?
Exactly. See, there's your second layer right in the middle. See, this is a dividing line right there. What if it's a double-decker Noki?
Oh, my God!
Let's just start doing that every couple of weeks. All right. Who's next?
Oh, I have a question.
I can't believe Rich brought a Britannica for his.
Look, that was it was the first.
I'm fully on board. Rich just supported the fuck out of me. He's a good friend.
Also, part of why I laugh so hard.
He literally did Webster's Dictionary defines dumplings as the start
to support me to back my argument, and I you know thank you.
Part of why I laugh so hard at that is. In Has Been Hotel, which none of you watched, there is a point where it's like, hey, please argue this point on behalf of Hell. And she starts going into the definition of redemption. And it's like, oh, We're not going to do Webster's definitions. Like, if please skip all points that are just definitions as she starts going through all of her cards. Like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Oh no, oh no.
Look.
Oh no, this was my entire argument.
Britannica's got some great SEO because it was the first link. That's the only reason. It's the only, it was the first link. It was the first thing I clicked.
That's search engine optimization for those of you who don't know what that meant.
It's the John that which gets SEO is not, by the way, the thing that gets an item put to the top of the Google search that's not Zencastr when I Google Zencastr. That's something different. When I Google Zencastr and I get two results that are Zencastr alternative, you could say that that's SEO, but that's also something else. Who's next?
Okay, so I have a question.
All right.
So every once in a while, this type of thing goes viral. And it's a while ago, it was girlfriends asking their boyfriends if they could land a plane. And a surprising number of the guys confidently answered yes. Then more recently, this girl was talking about her boyfriend. He's in a fantasy football league, and the punishment for losing is that you have to eat in one day as many eggs as you are years old. So, like, he was, and when he lost, he was 30. So he had to eat 30 eggs in a day. And she brought this up to other guys, and they were all like, 30 eggs, that's nothing. And we're very, very confident that they could eat significantly more than 30 eggs in one day. And this was like, it's like more than should be. So my question is, what is your I could land a plane or I could eat X eggs? For me, it is if you gave me a month of preparation, I could beat up anyone.
A month.
You give me 1 month to train, wow. I could kick anyone's ass.
Anyone.
I am very confident about this. There are maybe like three people I don't think I could take, but I'm like, if you gave me a month, I could beat up anybody.
I am going to tweet at Conor McGregor when this episode comes out and be like, one of our co-hosts has a challenge for you.
Yeah. Give me a month and I could kick Conor McGregor.
Well, if it's Conor McGregor, you have to give him extra incentive. Just be like, he's black. And then he'll be like, oh my God, yeah, I'm in.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean, well, I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever been more terrified in my life and more threatened in my life.
Yeah. You give me a month.
Give me
we asked the Hunger Games question, and it was a toss-up between me and Sean. But giving Sean a month to prepare for a fight directly against me, I don't stand a chance.
That's what I'm saying. I think right now, Tim, you could kick my ass. But if you were like, we're going to fight in 4 weeks, I'd be like, I'm gonna murder that dude.
Right now, I still think it would be a coin flip. But like, given a month, you would demolish me. That's nah, all man, I know. Like,
I would have to do a bunch of cardio. I don't have the stamina. Fighting is but so
neither
hard
do I.
Fighting is so hard.
Yeah. So I'm gonna spend a month practicing leg sweeps. Like,
just
take him out by the legs. Well, I can tell you guys with full confidence that if I was on that flight 93, things would not go on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, a surprising number of men are very confident that they could have disarmed some terrorists.
Shout out to Mark Wahlberg. He said that things would have gone down that way if he was on the plane that crashed into the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
What is your you have full confidence that you could handle it for no real reason, no rational reason, I guess.
Yeah, what's the most like dude thought that you have that's just like pure unbridled confidence for no reason, unwarranted?
So years ago, friend of the show David Bennett posed a question to me, which was if you decided to devote your whole life to just training to be like a professional athlete, like a NFL player, up until age like 18 or whatever, do you think you could do it? My answer was yes. So, which is untrue. There's a certain amount of God-given talent that just it was not bestowed upon me. Set of circumstances was not bestowed upon me. But that was my answer. I was like, yeah, man, if I had really worked at it, yeah, I could have made it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be mine.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way about the MLB too.
I mean, you could make it to the MLB today. You give yourself a month to prepare, you probably could. I've seen Lance Berkman without his shirt on, and the man was like one of the best hitters in baseball for like 10 years. Like, you could do it.
I'm Mine having is a hard time.
Oh, I've got one. It's just real fucking dark.
Okay.
And sadly, this is because I've given far too much thought to a specific one or two options that I've had enough information for this. If you give me 6 months, I could kill anyone in the continental U.S. and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And get away with it.
And get away with it. Okay.
And get away with it. And yeah, right, no, a couple of questions. And there, I have what?
A couple of questions.
No.
How do you know this? And is it because you've already done it?
No, I have not done it. But the point is, I have given considerable thought to doing it to at least two people, and it's bad.
Jeez.
When is the killing occur in the 6 month period? Is that the end of the 6 months, or is the 6 month encompass both the deed as well as the cover up?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess that's my signal that I was on the list. Got it.
It's not you, I promise.
It's on a need to know basis, and trust me, you don't need to know yet.
You'll find out.
No, you won't, because I won't get caught. That's the point, Rich. You fucking missed it.
In less than or equal to 6 months.
You'll just conveniently 6 months from this day be gone, and Tim will be here, and we'll just be like, well, I guess Rich is just missing.
The ultimate hard disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree with your existence. Yeah.
Britannica defines homicide as... Rich, what about you? Would you kill a man given 6 months preparation, or what would be your...
I mean, I could survive the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
That's probably my most manly thought, is I could survive the zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I spend a lot of time thinking about it.
Way more people think they would be fine. Like, I could do it.
Our sessions of Left 4 Dead disagree.
I wouldn't be doing that kind of stuff from Left 4 Dead, but I also wouldn't get doxxed while we're being surviving zombie apocalypse.
You don't know. It could happen.
Yeah, you're destroying all the zombies, but man, when the zombies find out your address, let me tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when it's over for you, bud.
Yeah, that's it. You're getting swatted by zombies? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Give me a week and I could win any NASCAR race. This is fast. This is the fastest car and they all turn in the same direction. Just lead foot.
Most races, there's only four turns. Some, there's six.
Matt, I don't think your Hyundai is going to make it.
Well, come on, Tim. Let's not be ridiculous. Obviously, I would borrow my wife's car. It's a Lexus.
Jenna's going to be so mad.
She's going to be so mad. Now I'm going to bring home that prize money. The great news, I got all this money. The bad news is we need a new car, because my strategy is just Agent of Chaos, and that didn't work out too well for your anything on this car.
And also, we didn't get the prize money either.
Yeah, also, yeah, I also lost. I have one piece of good news and two pieces of bad news. The one piece, one is that we won. The second is that I wrecked your car. And the third is I was lying about the money.
Two truths and a lie, except they're all lies.
They're all of them are lies. Every single one.
Two lies and then also a third lie.
Yeah. Oh no, they were all true. Fuck.
Yeah, this is a new game I'm calling Compulsive Liar. Here it is. Everything's awful. Everything's great.
Oh no, not the Steve McGovern.
Oh no. Any other things you guys are confident? I do love the idea of all the guys being like, yeah, I can totally land a plane if I need to. love that. Any other things you guys are confident you'd be able to do for no rational reason?
None that I can think of.
I feel like I could beat both Donald Trump and Joe Biden in a presidential debate. No advisors, no nothing.
I feel like I could beat him in a fight.
Well, that's not, but we're talking about like impressive things.
Yeah,
is beating up geriatrics not an impressive thing?
I mean, no. Do you think Donald Trump's eaten a vegetable in the last 10 years?
There might have been some pickles on his burgers.
Maybe, yeah.
You could also argue that's a fruit, but that's fine.
Yeah. It's a berry, actually.
Yeah. Is
no onions, no lettuce.
All right. Who's next? Who's got a question?
Is it just me left, or is there...
Yeah, it's just you.
Oh, damn. No, it's Tim, too.
Fuck, no.
The way he's looking.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What's the most thing you're excited for about this year? I know we're almost 3 months. Well, we'll be 3 months into it at the airing of this. So, what's the thing you're most excited about for the rest of this year?
My family's going to grow by 33%.
Oh, baby.
Sick.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's a great.
Another child entering our lives, another baby girl. I am very excited about this. Got the room, getting the room ready. My other daughter, my daughter is slowly, like, it's becoming more real. We had an appointment on Monday, and just the way the schedule worked out, we couldn't move it any other day to the day that we had Jordan, because normally we don't like to bring Jordan to the doctor's appointments. It's not fun for her just sitting around, but we did the ultrasound while Jordan was there, and she was looking at pictures and seeing the ultrasound. We told her what the appointment was going to be, and she was looking at she pointed to the ultrasound. I was like, baby sister. And I was like, yeah, that's right, it is baby sister. And she was putting it together, like, you know, they were putting the probes on my wife's stomach, and she was looking at the picture, and then she was like, then pointing to my wife's stomach, like, that's where it is. That's where the baby is. I'm like, yes, you figured it out.
I found it.
Yeah. So it's becoming more real for her as well. So that's the really like electric.
That's
part
awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's what I'm most excited about this year.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, right now for me, it's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out next week. And I mean, the only other game that I'm like super pumped for doesn't even come out till next year. So that's about it right now. I'm sure more will come to mind as the year goes on. I don't have any major plans because health stuff is keeping me from making them.
I'm stoked to walk Alice to school. So she's going to kindergarten next year, and it's full day, and the school is very close, so you can walk there. But I'm stoked because I walk her to her babysitters now, because her babysitter's also very close, and the conversations that she has with me on the way to the babysitter, it just blows my mind, because she's like 4, but she has such like a like vivid inner world. Like, she's just like fucking experiencing the world, and she'll just like say shit to me that is the most like profound shit, because she's just like experiencing everything for the first time, and she's like, and she just, it's just so exciting to watch kids grow in that way. And like, it's like Jake does it too, where like from year to year he'll like just be like, this is what I think about, he's doing it on like a more like global scale, I guess. Like, he's like talking about issues that are like impacting the world, and she's just like, man, have you ever noticed that birds are weird? And I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? But like, for both of them, it's so interesting to see them grow and change and like have this fully formed self that's completely external to me. And that's dope. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's just terrific. Yeah, it is the reward for how hard it is to be a parent. Like, just watching a little person experience the world and have thoughts about it, and you're like, yes, that's what we want. Have thoughts about it. Please.
Beautiful, man. So you're excited for the walk to kindergarten now?
I'm excited for the walk to kindergarten. I'm also I'm excited and nervous for Jacob to learn how to drive.
Oh,
God.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, he's not allowed. He's getting too old. 4-0.
I just assumed he had his license already.
Nah. He did take driver's ed already, but he can't get his license until next year.
You say teach or taught or take?
Oh, he taught driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he was like 43 when he taught that.
Mm, yes, yes. Tim, what are you most excited for this year?
So I kind of came down to two different things for very similar reasons. One is my cousin is getting married in October, and I'm super excited for her. Mm. Part of why I'm excited for her is the growth and expansion of her family, and also just kind of like the reconnection with that side of the family. My family tree is very fucked up, which I'm not going to go into depth because we don't have enough time. And if you want to know, hit me up on X at Timur Hansen. Or just like text me, shoot me an email. I don't fucking know. And similarly, I've recently reconnected or contacted my sister, who I haven't talked to in like 6-7 years. Very similarly related to the fucked up family tree, but she is the sister that I grew up with, and she has her own things that she's working through, and I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to reconnect. I kind of feel bad for some of the takes that I have previously, or some of the positions I've previously taken on that relationship, or lack thereof, in the past, largely clouded by misinformation from our mother. And I'm really happy that she's finally getting to a place where she can but kind of finally address a lot of the issues that she has been not working on for so long. It's been great to reconnect with her, and it's been fun to, not fun. That's a terrible fucking word. It's been great to kind of be like, hey, listen, you don't have to apologize to me, because you can't maintain a good relationship with anyone until you have a good relationship with yourself. And I'm happy that you are finally getting to that point where you can do that for you. So I'm here when you need me. And there's zero pressure and zero guilt. And that's it. So nice. Happy to rebuild that connection with my sister.
Nice.
If she's listening, hey. But also, hey, I don't know if or when she'll get to this point.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotta get back to your to the family roots. It's so nice when you can have nice relationships with your family. It doesn't have to be complicated. Yeah.
Anything else you guys are excited for this year?
Big
events, small events?
I just went, so I'm on the prowl for a new therapist, and I just contacted a bunch, and so I'm stoked, because I think, compared to when I was in therapy before, I think I have a better grasp on the issues that I have, whereas, like, before it was just like, let me just complain about my life, and that makes me feel better. But now I think it's like, okay, here are the actual issues that I'm having. And now I can, because I have identified them, we can work on solutions to them, as opposed to me just being like, this is what sucks. This is what sucks. This is what sucks. And then being like, yeah, that is really hard, which is very nice, but not necessarily moving me in a positive direction. So I'm excited to move forward with that. And, max out my copay for the year, and then I'll break my leg in like November. And I'll be like, "Easy Street, baby,
it's free. Yeah. Let's go!" New leg of titanium.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm probably also going to be in that boat of maxing out my deductible and like, well, might as well just get the ankle surgeries now because. Mm-hmm. My deductible's maxed.
Yeah, I'm at my deductible. Might as well fucking fall off a building.
Yeah.
I decided to take up skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim Hansen.
I spent so much time coming up with an answer for that last question that I forgot that I had to come up with a question.
This is the final question.
It's a cop out. Are there any hobbies that you previously had that you would like to get back into or are recently getting back into?
So I just this week got gold stars on all the new tracks in Mario Kart.
Nice.
So I hadn't played any of the new ones since they came out. And then I was like, and then I would think I was just bored one day. I was like, I don't want to watch TikToks. I don't want to go on social media right now. And I was like, I'll just play Switch while Alice does whatever she does. And yeah, so I've been getting back into playing a ton of Mario Kart, and it's very fun and relaxing to me. Now that I've beaten everything, I can get back to like playing online and having fun, because it's not frustrating when I'm like at the end of a race and somebody blue shells me and I'm like, I just needed to get first place, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
The quest for Gold Mario is such a pain, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a pain.
I will say, when we played a couple weeks ago and Sean wasn't playing, I was like, oh my god, this is an actual competition.
It's competitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very good at that game, and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
No, don't.
You shouldn't.
It takes a lot of skill to be that good at that
game. Go off, boss.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing.
I'll play more of these guys behind me, the guitars behind me. Play a little bit with Jordan when she wants it, but haven't sat down and just be like, I'm gonna play for my own enjoyment for a while. I would like to do that more. Play some more guitar.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm similar to the Matt, but more broad. I just want to get back into music again because I don't really listen to as much music as I used to. And I just have a real hard time listening to new shit. So I want to try to get back into enjoying music to the point where, like, you know, this bass that I got like 7 years ago that I still have not tried to teach myself how to play. Like, maybe I can actually try to teach myself how to play that.
Mm-hmm. Bass is so fun.
Totes.
When you like lock into a groove and it's just so relaxing. You're just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I wanna do it, but it's just, I'm doing so many other things that it's like the thought of like spending an hour every couple of days or whatever to try to learn bass. I'm just like, I don't got the time.
It's also, it's so hard to start from zero. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to be like, to know that like at some point in the future you're gonna be good at it, but you suck at it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, like I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna take like a year or two. Yeah. And then in a year or two you're like, fuck yeah, but it's like putting that much effort into something without like stuff like that is, you put a bunch of effort into it and you don't see results until like one random day. You're just like, oh, I'm very good at this.
It just mm-hmm. clicks.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, wait.
That point.
Yeah, you're just like, there's no way I would have been able to play this a year ago. And you're just like, oh, I get it now. Not like I'm like a virtuoso, but like you're just like, oh, it kind of, yeah, it clicks. You're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Which is a good feeling, but it's hard as hell to work to that.
Yeah.
That's great, and I love that, Rich, because one, I love a vocal bass line for like a cappella and stuff. So like a good bass line in music translating to a vocal bass line is just so much fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of my mixes just keeps like slipping in Good Kid. And it's like, oh, I know this band because of you. So
Good Kid's great.
And they just keep like slipping in songs into these random playlists. So I was like, all right, I dig this. So love that. The sparking question for this for me, or the sparking reason for this question for me, was I've recently been getting back into Gunpla, which is essential, which is just Gundam models.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it was shortened to Gunpla. It's probably like Gundam Play or some shenanigans.
It was always supposed to be like Gunpla, like from beginning. It was Gunplay.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. So building models, and I had bought one for myself probably like mid-2020 with the intention of getting back into this hobby that I used to do as a kid and like learning a lot more about the hobby. I got it because it was a complicated kit and it was like related to one of my early introductions to anime. And I was like, oh, so this, the kit itself means something to me. The complexity of this kit is an advancement from where I had previously done a lot of these to a significantly higher degree. But at the same time, I didn't want to do exactly the same thing I did before. I wanted to bring my skills to a higher level. So I got it, I started it, and then I didn't get very far before putting it back in the fucking box, which is currently laying on the bed over here. So within the last like couple weeks, been really getting back into, all right, I want to escalate my game, my skill, my completion of this hobby. What does that actually mean? So one, rediscovering a lot of the things that I looked up back mid-2020, and two, completion of what that is, because I'd only started a lot of like the beginnings. Oh, do this, do this, do this, do this. And it's like, okay, but like that's all like the first half of even putting one of these together. What's the last half? And how does that actually affect the first half that I fucking forgot? So like looking at, oh, I need to learn how to airbrush, like using a compressor and an airbrush to actually paint these things. and making them look fucking awesome. Like, I don't want to just put it together, which I totally could do now with all the skills I have, and it'll look okay, but that's not what I want. I want this to look awesome. Which, yeah, so like getting back into that, a friend of mine just went to Japan for a couple weeks and then Taiwan for like a month. So I was like, oh, if you see any of these kits, get me one. He's like, I have no space left in my luggage. I'm like, okay. So what would cost $20 there is like $120 here, but that's fine. That's okay. So yeah, just getting back into that and trying to really dial in the skill that I want to achieve. Not just doing it for the sake of being like, I did a thing, but like, I want to actually do this well.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Model making has always been like an interesting thing to get into, but I don't have the skills for it right away, yeah. So I don't really want to do it.
Yeah, like, in grade school, or not grade school, middle school, early high school, it was, how fast can I complete this kit? And it was like, if I can build this in under an hour, I fucking nailed it, boy. But also, one, now looking back on all that and the advancement of this hobby in general, it's like, okay, so you did like the entry level in under an hour. But I want to do all the like moderately advanced levels, which is like, oh, this should take you days. For a variety of reasons. Like, okay, that's where I want to be now. But with the knowledge and things I have access to, right this second, it's like, I'm not there. And the trying to get an airbrush set up, it's like, that's money. That's an investment that I need to make. And how do I plan that? Because... Mm-hmm. I can't just drop $200 on an air compressor and an airbrush.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No. Down the road?
You get that.
My grandfather used to build, had this model of the Starship Enterprise that he built like years and years ago. And it was like the only part of the workshop. He was like, you can play with all the toys, but I'll be goddamned if you break this Starship Enterprise model that I put together for however long it took him. Oh, boy. All right. Anyone else have something they want to get back into?
I do want to play more D&D again. I've just been too exhausted to like plan and write for it.
I'll gladly join another campaign. I'm really digging the one I'm in now with Boulder running the game.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. I think we'll call it a night there. I am tired.
Same.
I am not going to fall asleep on the microphone like I thought I was going to. I was worried about that, but we're close. We're close. So on that note, the Brose Podcast is available on all major podcasting platforms. And of course, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on X at Brose_podcast, on Facebook at Brose Podcast, and on Instagram at Brose_podcast. And of course, if you have a question you want us to answer on the air, email it to brosequestions@gmail.com. That's brosequestions@gmail.com. Huge thanks, as always, to Mary O'Brien for compiling our listener questions, to Tess Riley for editing our show, to Shannon Vogel, who designed our world-famous logo. You can find Shannon's work at the Vogel Art Shop on Facebook or at her storefront on Etsy.com. And our theme music is the song When by Steven Siebert. You can listen to Steven's work at the Free Music Archive. It is time for Plugs and Handles. Rich Sweeten, we'll start with you.
Check me out on Twitter at @B_Walnuts, and you can come hang out with me as I play video games on twitch.tv/B_Walnuts, where I stream video games Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. I don't know what I can plug right now. Probably more Final Fantasy, because that game's going to take a long time to beat.
Sean O'Brien.
You can find me on Twitter at @HeySOB. You can find me throwing frisbees at OB Disc Golf. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Wrinkles Peasley, I think.
Jeez. Tim Hansen.
You can find me on X at Tim R. Hansen. You can find me on Instagram at CrazyCracker14. Both of those words start with K's. You can find me on Blue Sky at Mbop McDirt with four M's. And I'm sure there's other things that are various renditions of any of those words on any of the other socials that you may so decide to try and stalk me on.
And I'm on X and Blue Sky at MKASNEL. That's MKASZNEL. And I will just take this opportunity to once again promote my brother's band, Alex Hasnell, on the board of directors. They were just on, they're being featured on a compilation album, a tribute to NoFX called I Heard They Broke Up, or Heard Those Guys Broke Up, excuse me. It'll be coming out shortly, but you can follow all their work, find all their tour dates, find all their albums and music on bandcamp.com. You know, search for Alex Hasnell and the board of directors on bandcamp.com. That's all, everybody. Say goodbye to the gentle listeners.
Bye. Deuces.
For Tim Hansen, Rich Sweet, and Sean O'Brien, and the entire Action Moves team.
Moo.
My name is Matt Casnell, reminding you all to be smart about being stupid.